Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. It's a pleasure to speak with Edward Carr, the deputy editor of The Economist magazine, looking at middle-income countries in the pandemic, midway in the pandemic, towards the end of the pandemic. We don't know. The Delta variant suggests that there are many other letters in the Greek alphabet. And if the pandemic is to become endemic, what is the expectation around the world for recovery? The U.S. and the U.K. right now are enjoying good headlines about recovery. That is not true worldwide. And we go to one country that is Anglophone, but at the same time, surprisingly troubled suddenly. The violence of South Africa. It was concentrated, if I follow the reporting correctly, in Johannesburg and in Durban, which is two critical cities, but they are associated closely with the ANC, the African National Congress, and Jacob Zuma. So can we separate out the pandemic from the politics of the ANC? Edward, this is a close call for me, but you have statistics that make it very clear that the looters were thinking of their despair because of the pandemic, especially one scratch on a wall, level four to Hades, which is an apocalyptic saying. So now that it's some days have passed, as South Africa, now another country burdened by pandemic more than it is by Zuma.
Well, John, this one, I think you're right, is a closer call. Our feeling, the feeling of our guy on the ground there who did a lot of reporting on this, is that initially, people were called out onto the streets in order to put pressure on the legal system to release the former president, Jacob Zuma, who had been put in jail for contempt of court. So it started, the initial, getting people onto the streets was something that was done for political reasons. But as so often happens, when people are on the streets, this thing has a life of its own. And what came out was on a scale that people hadn't imagined. There was huge amounts of looting, and people were being very frustrated. One of the reasons was that the lockdown in South Africa was full of crazy rules. I mean, you weren't apparently allowed to wear open-toed sandals for some reason, which is an unusual public health measure. But there had been other things that would have stirred anger more, I think, which is, for instance, the curfew and preventing people from drinking. One of the pleasures they have there, they could see, on the other hand, that the rich were, sitting in their compounds, tippling expensive wine. That sense of inequality, of unfairness, of a government that was imposing harsh rules on them, that was corrupt, all of those things took on a life of their own because of the sense that COVID-19 and the pandemic had heightened all of those tensions. So it's kind of catalytic. It's one of the ingredients in the mix. I don't believe it's what actually got it started, but it's what it gave it such venom.
Colombia is another middle-income country that has seen protests over quite some weeks. And Colombia is also a country, surprisingly, with a low vaccination rate. I believe it was late to buying vaccine. And this tells the story of middle-income countries generally, Edward, I believe. They did not have the largesse to commit to buying the vaccine early, whereas the U.S. and the U.K. and other European countries, we oversubscribed, and now we're swimming in vaccine. That is not true in Colombia.
Yes, that's absolutely right. The supply of vaccines to outside the rich countries has been low. If you look at the number of countries in South Asia, for instance, the number of people over 12 who've been vaccinated is just 9%. In the Middle East, North Africa, it's 12%. It's 5% in Venezuela. So these numbers are pretty low. And in Colombia, which fits completely into this pattern, the problem there is as much inequality as anything else. So you take a very unequal society and you stress it with a pandemic, and people see the unfairness. They're exposed to the unfairness. They see that the rich get vaccinated first. They see the rich getting by. There's a very large unofficial economy in Colombia. And so people see that they have to go out to work, or if work's gone, they can't earn anything. Now, the government tried to do something about that with a fund to try and help people. But it goes to this middle income point. The government couldn't find a big enough fund. It couldn't afford or borrow enough money to pay a big enough sum to help people through this. And the result was anger. And particularly what tipped people over the edge was a tax reform, which I think actually our analysis would have been helpful and has been reintroduced now, would have been helpful, but it was taken by people to be unfair and to be yet more money that was demanded. And that really sent people over the edge in Colombia.
Surprised me to find Belarus in this mix, given that Lukashenko is bizarre. The most generous word would be Pantagruelian, but bizarre because he's a brute. At the same time, it does explain the diaspora of the Belarusians starting in the summer of 2020. I witnessed the parade in downtown Manhattan of young Belarusians who objected to the false election choice that they were given. So can we regard Lukashenko as having the pandemic as an excuse of his brutality, or was he always like this?
He was always like that. But what changed was that, and I think this is another important point about protests and COVID, which is that once people discover that they can protest, and once they've been through something like a pandemic, which is a common experience that can give people a sense of solidarity. What happened in Belarus was that Lukashenko really mismanaged the beginning of the pandemic. He sort of talked about it being nonsense, and he advised people to drive tractors and drink vodka and things like that to try and deal with the disease. He mismanaged it. And what happened is there was a Belarusian society started to organize itself. There was crowdfunding to buy supplies for doctors. People got together on social media, and people discovered that they had a sense of solidarity, that they could do something for themselves. And in a country like Belarus, where they've been sort of infantilized, if you like, by this dictator, that was a really powerful discovery. And when he, as you said, then cheated in the elections, people were primed to protest about it. So there, I think that the pandemic played a rather interesting part of kind of galvanizing people, and it kind of set them up for this response to this stolen election.
Edward Carr is the deputy editor of The Economist magazine, observing middle-income countries in the middle of the pandemic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.